Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our lengthy text is written in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, includes verses 26 to 40 as follows. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." This is a desert place. And he arose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship, and was returning, seated in his chariot. And he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does this prophet say this, about himself or someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he replied, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way, rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. So far, the holy word. It's my pleasure and privilege, as always, to bring you an important gospel message from God's word this morning, dear fellow redeemed. The introduction to the radio version of this sermon begins a little differently. If I'm tailoring a message for the radio, it might contain more of an evangelistic message than one for church. And why is that? Well, because you are believers, and some of the listeners to the radio may not be. Christians come to church to hear God's word. Now, visitors do too. And some may not have heard the gospel message, but largely a pastor is preaching to the choir from the pulpit, as the expression has it. So, Christian man, Christian woman, Christian child, you have faith already in this man Jesus, who is also God. You have faith in him who was born of a virgin and lived a life free of sin, keeping God's laws, all of them. He, Jesus, was tempted just like you are in your everyday life. But he never sinned. He suffered great humiliation and pain. He preached about repentance and the forgiveness of sins that our loving God offers. Christian, you know that Jesus paid your full debt of sin on the cross when he died there, and when he rose from the dead on Easter morning, well, that was the proof that the Heavenly Father was well satisfied with that payment, and you are going to live forever because he lives. Well, that's all review, Pastor, and it is, but why do I mention it? Because we may ask, how did you get to that position? How did you become sons and daughters of the King? How did you achieve eternal life? How did you come to know this man? Don't you know people who you wish would come to faith in Christ and know that God the Father loves them and has given them eternal life? Isn't it really our urgent message and mission to help others enjoy that same peace we have? In this morning's text, we witness the creation of faith in the heart of a man. We'll see who gets the credit for this transformation. Who does it? Who creates faith? Of course, it's the Holy Spirit. Philip was one of seven deacons appointed by the church in Jerusalem to help the apostles. And before this text, Philip is in Samaria preaching the word with much success. He's casting out evil spirits. He has healed people. And many were brought to faith. In fact, there was so much to do, he couldn't keep up. And Peter and John came to help. It was a very busy ministry and a busy time for Philip. But then came the startling message of the angel. Rise and go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Why did the Holy Spirit direct Philip to leave a bustling ministry, a congregation with probably a lot of mission prospects, and go off into the middle of nowhere? Well, because your Savior is personal. God is concerned with each and every one of you. I noted in the introduction that you are believers. If your faith is firm at this moment, and you have the sure confidence of eternal life, I still say keep listening, because the Holy Spirit wants to strengthen your faith and to further instruct you through the message. Also, you and I are both sinner and saint. Your old Adam is hard at work while you remain here on earth. To that part of you, which is worried about God, trembling. To the trembling flicker of your faith that has doubts about Jesus, let me say clearly, God is love. It's true that God hates sin and is angered by it. It's true that God is the worst enemy you'd ever want to have. But know this, God sent his son Jesus to take your punishment upon himself. God did this for you specifically. When Jesus shed his blood on the cross, it paid for every sin you've ever committed by what you say, and by what you do, and what you think, and where your heart is, and what you haven't done, for that matter. God does not want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God loved those crowds up in Samaria, but he also loved this Ethiopian eunuch. He also loved the woman at the well. He also loved the thief on the cross. The Holy Spirit sent Philip down to that desolate Gaza road. The Holy Spirit put me on the radio this morning and put me here in this pulpit. And he put you in the pew. God is very interested in you and your eternal welfare. It might not seem like a very efficient system, or church, I suppose, could hire a consulting firm to suggest, based on demographics, where we should share the good news and how to craft and package the message to meet the needs of our target audience. But the Holy Spirit has other ideas about getting out the message, and we are to follow his lead and direction. The Holy Spirit hasn't used an angel to arrange my voice reaching your ear today, that I know of. But God does know where each person is at all times and what they need and what the state of their soul is in relation to him. He knows our whole life like a perfect biography. David says, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. No one can see the future, where we will be tomorrow. The world may end soon and come, Lord Jesus. But unless it does, we know God will put us in the right situation to spread his word, The Holy Spirit will see to it that we have opportunity to tell others. So, Christian, look around you. See where you are. Is your coworker lonely and without friends? God sets the solitary in families. Are you a father or mother? Make the name of Jesus part of your daily conversation and make him the silent guest at every meal. Rise and lay down with prayer. Are you a child who knows the love of Jesus? Your church friends might like to be invited to Sunday school and to church or VBS or other functions. Holy Spirit can often use some unlikely circumstances to give us an opportunity to share our faith. See Philip here on the desert road. Or think about Joseph in the Old Testament when he was in prison in Egypt and how he spoke to Pharaoh's cupbearer and Pharaoh's baker, helping you. Do you know someone who needs to hear the word? Have you been intending to do it for some time but haven't gotten around to it? Why not do it this week? Have you looked at the people you know and meet with that goal in mind? Don't write off a lost cause. The Lord does not. Okay, so we know we are to expect those opportunities, and we should expect to find ourselves on that Gaza road or even on an internet forum that's unconnected to the faith, or on Facebook, or chatting over the backyard fence, or on a radio broadcast. What do we say then? Well, in Philip's case, interestingly, before he said too much, he listened. The Ethiopian wanted to know what God was saying in Isaiah about someone being led to a slaughter as a lamb. Was the prophet talking about himself, the prophet, or some other person? And what did that mean for the Ethiopian? What did Philip say? Well, he didn't give a self-help speech or try any motivational tactics. He didn't report on what he had read recently or make jokes or talk about his golf game or the last movie he'd been to. No, he preached the gospel. In fact, the Greek text here literally says that he preached the good news of Jesus. And you can do this. As a church-going person, you know the Apostles' Creed by heart. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. Even if you don't know the creed, you certainly know the facts. God became man, became our brother in the person of the holy Jesus who died as our substitute. By his death, he paid the penalty for his sin. He brought the whole world back together with God. Philip assured this foreigner that whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. He urged him to trust in Jesus as his Savior too. And he spoke about God's seal of salvation in baptism. This is the same message that our Savior also preached. And the other preachers of Jesus' day, they preached about all kinds of new laws you had to follow and obey, and the dire threats of punishment if you don't. The Lord simply said, "Repent and follow me. I'm the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." What should we say? Look around you, your friends, your schoolmates, your co-workers. They have problems and fears and desires. They live in the same world you do. Listen to them like Philip did and preach the good news. That's what the words evangelize and evangelical mean, gospel preaching. Briefly, what shouldn't you say? What won't you hear from the pulpit of our Saviors? You won't hear and shouldn't share a message that's all about the law, the Ten Commandments, and what God demands from you. You don't need to tell people how God wants them to live, and that they should turn their life around and live like a Christian, and then they'll be saved. Evangelism is not saying, "What would Jesus do?" You know why? Because Jesus would live a perfect life and die a terrible death on the cross for the sins of the world and be God and man. We can't do any of those things. What would Jesus do is a harmful question in many cases. Evangelizing is saying, look to Christ, your brother, who's done it all for you. God the Father now sees you as holy and pure because Jesus paid your debt. He's done it all. He rose from the dead so you can be sure that you will live forever in heaven. Finally, we see that the Holy Spirit gets results. Sometimes we're not privileged to see them. We talk to someone about Jesus and invite them to church and they don't come. We don't witness a mass conversion or see the word flourishing. But dear Christian, that doesn't mean the word isn't working. It does work. Just like the rain wakes up the winter wheat and the flowers. My sainted father was a dedicated pastor, preacher of the gospel for 4 decades. And he told me that God had only rarely allowed him to see the full fruit of his labor. And that may sound a little discouraging, but actually it's not. It's encouraging. It's a great comfort to you and me, and here's why. The Holy Spirit uses mere men and women, jars of clay, Scripture calls us. Even and often little children, to share the gospel, to bring someone to faith, to lead someone to the word or to church, to hear the word. And after you do that, you share your faith, they may reject that message. Or they may reject it at first, but later turn to God and his word. Your efforts are not in vain. Even though they be rejected. God promises this in Isaiah 55, he says. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Years from now, perhaps. Your kind invitation, your simple telling of the good news may change someone's heart. Long after you're dead or your classmate has moved far away, they may recall your friendly comment about how comforting it was to know you, for you to know that death is only temporary or that your sins were forgiven for Jesus' sake. The Holy Spirit got it done. For the Ethiopian. He might have looked like the same fellow. He returned to his job as treasurer in the royal court. But he wasn't the same man. He was now at peace with God, a baptized child of the king. He had inherited eternal life. And no matter what happened to him from then on forward, he would be okay because he knew that Christ had died for him. He had the long view, the Christian view that this life is only temporary. The hymn writer said, here in the body pent, absent from him I roam, but nightly pitch my moving tent a day's march near home. The Ethiopian had the gospel preached to them, to him, and we can be sure that he then preached the gospel. In fact, a vibrant Christian community sprouted up in northern Africa, where this man is from, and tradition holds that it started with him. And it may well be true. Preaching forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus is the work laid before all of us. The work is easy because the Holy Spirit gives us the opportunity and means and success of gospel preaching. Lives are changed. Souls are saved. May the Holy Spirit fill you with zeal to spread this message of hope and peace to a darkened and dying world. Again, the hymn, if you cannot speak like angels, if you cannot preach like Paul, you can tell the love of Jesus. You can say he died for all. If you cannot rouse the wicked with the judgment's dread alarms, you can lead the little children to the Savior's waiting arms. Amen. The same peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.